look at the body language on Mahel Martin. Oh my God, he looks like he wants to get out of there. All right, everybody, wow. I want to show you all the moment that the Irish Taoiseach, Michael Martin, makes the case for immigration directly to Trump's face. It is a powerful, convincing moment in which Trump is caught off guard by a rather articulate argument as to why immigration is a net benefit for society. You know, my argument is always that I take up space, I take up housing, you take up clothes, we all take up electricity, but we also create. And it's the same thing with immigrants. Immigrants come to our country and they create. They create houses, they create more opportunities. So Republicans look at immigrants in such a single-dimensional way and think that immigrants only take things up, when that's not the case. I'm going to break all of this down. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. Just to run you down the situation, the Irish Taoiseach, Mahel Martin, or Michael Martin, however you pronounce it, is talking to Donald Trump for St. Patrick's Day about trade, tariffs, the war in Iran, and immigration. The meeting quickly derails as Donald Trump begins to attack the media as usual. And honestly, before the meeting even began, moments before the meeting began, Donald Trump began to attack all of our NATO allies for not wanting to go on a suicide mission and help ships go through the Strait of Hormuz. If you watched the last video on the Adam Mockler feed, we explained that at its narrowest, the Strait of Hormuz is only about 2 miles wide. Donald Trump is asking our NATO allies to go on a suicide mission to protect ships going through this narrow strait, which is almost impossible because Iran has cities on their coast that can shoot directly to the strait. That is how it has always worked, and now Trump is melting the hell down. We'll break this all down. Make sure you drop a like. Subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. You know, as we get closer to 2 million subscribers, I just want to say thank you all for helping me build this beautiful community, this beautiful channel that we are going to turn into something truly unique with debate shows, new programming, new interviews, new contents. It's all coming soon. Just subscribe. Okay, to back up, Trump sits down at this meeting and immediately begins bragging about his golf courses in Ireland.
It's a great thing, my son and my family. We have a great golf complex in Ireland, one of the best in the world, called Doonbeg. It's in Doonbeg.
I would prefer if our presidents weren't constantly using the executive power they have to refer to their own businesses, enrich themselves, and become more and more powerful. Then Donald Trump gets asked, have you made any progress getting America's allies to assist U.S. tankers going through the Strait of Hormuz? And Trump begins to spew lies, vomit, and vitriol about NATO and about our alliances. I want you to watch this clip because it's so absurd, and we'll debunk it on the other side.
What progress have you made, Mr. President, in getting America's allies to assist the U.S. in escorting those oil tankers through the Strait of Hormuz?
Well, we don't need too much help, and we don't need any help, actually. In fact, we just put out a notice. I was watching over the last couple of weeks, and all of our NATO allies were very much in favor of what we did. They thought it was very important. We were just discussing it, actually. Very important that we take out the nuclear threat from Iran, and we've done that very strongly, very powerfully. We've wiped out their Navy, wiped out their military in every aspect. Their Air Force is now decimated. They have no Air Force, no Navy. They have no radar. Their radar is entirely gone. Their anti-aircraft machinery is gone. Everything is gone. Their leaders are gone. I guess one of their top person was, they say, a lot of people say their actual top was killed.
Okay, he's making two contradictory arguments at the same time. First of all, he told all of our allies to go to hell about a week ago because the war was over. I actually have the post right here. This was about a week ago. This was 10 days ago now. He said, the United Kingdom, our once great ally, maybe the greatest of them all, is finally giving serious thought to sending 2 aircraft carriers to the Middle East. That's okay, Prime Minister Starmer. We don't need them any longer, but we will remember. We don't need people that join wars after we've already won. That was Trump 10 days ago claiming that the war was already won and that we don't need help from any of our allies. Over the 10 following days, he proceeded to beg for help from all of our allies, say that the war is not actually done, oil prices are still skyrocketing, the stock market is still tanking, people are still struggling. And remember, oil prices underlie the cost of every other good. So we're going to see everything spike in price because of this unnecessary war. But back to this. Trump is saying in this, he doesn't need the help of anybody. But now he's saying that he does need the help of people and he's not getting it. And then he says that he has dismantled the Iranian regime so they're not even a threat anymore. These cannot all be true. He then goes on to say that we don't need any help.
Yesterday, along with somebody else, who was responsible for the killing, the man that was responsible for the killing of 32,000 people over the last 2 weeks, he was in charge of the killing of protesters. It's an evil group. I mean, they've killed much more than 32,000 people. And the man who was responsible for that was also killed yesterday. And all of the NATO allies agreed with us. But they don't want to, you know, despite the fact that we help them so much, we have thousands of soldiers in different countries all over the world, and they don't want to help us, which is amazing. I mean, amazing. And I didn't do a full court press because I think if I did, they probably would be, but we don't.
Okay, let me just back up. It's not that NATO doesn't want to help us. It's not that they are staying back and doing nothing. It's that they're making the very real calculation that this is a risk that will directly impact their economy if they begin to jump into a new war. This is a political reality. You are asking allied countries to commit naval assets like ships, sailors, service members, lives, billions of dollars, all to a conflict that they did not initiate and do not see as an existential threat to themselves, and their intelligence contradicts the United States intelligence that this is an imminent threat. In fact, our own intelligence doesn't even say that. Just Caroline Levitt is saying that. At the same time, those allies have been publicly bullied by Donald Trump repeatedly. So it's not that they don't want to help. It's not that they're staying back. The reality is, they're not even giving a middle finger to Trump by doing this. They're not being like, oh, we don't like the United States or Trump. If it were a real scenario where they could help and they were in danger and they needed to help, they would. What they're saying is, hey, we don't need to help you guys. This is not a necessary conflict. Even if we have the means to do so, we don't have the willpower to do so, and you can't force us to do so. Listen, starting a business can be rather daunting. It's pretty terrifying. There are so many different areas to build into. There's a website, there's the sales end, there's the marketing, but Shopify is a tool that has helped me and millions of other businesses take that leap and make the best decision you'll ever make, which is building something of your own. Shopify is a commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and about 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, helping everyone from major brands to entrepreneurs who are just getting started. Shopify makes it easy to build professional online stores that your customers can interface with, and it's packed with a bunch of helpful AI tools that can write descriptions, write headlines, enhance your product, help you sell, and help improve your business. Shopify brings everything together in one place, from inventory to payments to then analytics, seeing how the progress that you've made to the marketing tools. So you can build your team with Shopify. It's time to turn those what-ifs into reality. Check out your $1 per month trial below at shopify.com/mockler. Again, you can get a $1 per month trial if you click the top link in the description and go to shopify.com/mockler. Thank you all, and back to the video.
We don't need help. You know, that war is has been long prosecuted, as far as I'm concerned, almost from day one. We knocked out many of these things. We knocked out the Navy essentially in a couple of days. But I was surprised to see that NATO, while they agree that it was a very important thing to do, they agree fully. Nobody said, oh, you shouldn't do it. They would have had a nuclear weapon within 1 month of when we had the B-2 bombers bomb the nuclear potential.
Okay, there's no intelligence saying that. He then goes on to say NATO has never helped us, and we need to continue to reiterate, NATO came to our help after 9/11. Once 9/11 happened, NATO countries didn't just issue statements. They deployed troops. Dozens of countries fought, and thousands of people died alongside the United States in Afghanistan. Every single NATO member backed the invocation of Article 5. Dozens of countries then contributed forces. The United Kingdom, which is the country that Trump ends up attacking the most throughout this, they lost over 450 troops, which is absolutely absurd. Trump then gets told, after melting down today about the Strait of Hormuz being closed and him not getting help, he then gets told in real time that Macron is not going to help him, and he gets really pissy. Let me read a statement first. He said, the United States has been informed by most of our NATO quote-unquote allies that they don't want to get involved with our military operations against the terrorist regime of Iran, despite the fact that almost every country strongly agreed with what we're doing. I'm not surprised by their actions. We will protect them, but they do nothing for us. I mean, this is all just absolute absurd, deranged bullshit. NATO has been keeping Europe safe, locking Europe down. The only reason Ukraine was invaded, actually, is because they aren't in NATO. NATO has been the defensive alliance keeping us all safe. Then right after Trump writes that statement, he gets told that Macron of France does not want to help. For good reasons.
President Macron has just said in the last hour that he will never join a task force in the Strait of Hormuz until hostilities finish. Yesterday you said...
Who said that?
President Macron of France. What's your reaction to that, sir?
Well, he'll be out of office very soon, so we'll have to see. You know, I don't know.
Really great, really mature response. I mean, you'll be out of office before we know it as well. I want to show you the moment that Mihel Martin makes the case to Donald Trump in favor of immigration. These are the types of common sense pro-immigration arguments that we need to be making in these spaces, and Trump doesn't know how to respond.
Yes, excuse me.
First of all, I would say that Europe is still a very good place to live in.
Good.
Just to let you know.
I'm glad to hear it.
and our view is you have to have robust and fair rules around migration, but on the other hand, a lot of people, you know, within the European Union, we have free mobility of people. And in Ireland, our population is growing, but in a very positive way. Our economy is going well because we're attracting a lot of people from Europe and beyond into work legally and validly in our country. In fact, I'd love if we could develop a legal pathway between the US and Ireland into the future because of our history and so on like that, mm-hmm. that we could have a legal pathway because no one is in favor of illegal migration or and so forth. So you have to have robust rules for that. But fundamentally, I think sometimes Europe gets characterized wrongly in terms of it being overrun or whatever like that. It's much more robust now. There's much more stronger mechanism in place to facilitate legal migration. I think it's important that understanding is there. We need more economic growth in Europe. It doesn't have the same focus on innovation as you do here in the US. We discussed that earlier with the Vice President in terms of technology, in terms of AI. We need to pivot more to innovation. As opposed to regulation, I think investing in people, you know, and that's the key to, I think, our collective future. But we do take care of lessons.
Thank you. Investing in people is so incredibly important. That is how innovation happens in America, by the brightest minds coming together, not in one uniform way, in uniform manner. No, we have diversity of thought, diversity of religion, ideas, all kept together within the institutions and guardrails of America and the Constitution, the same institutions that Trump wants to step all over. Donald Trump then acknowledges the fact that one of the top security and counterterrorism officials in the United States resigned this morning and called Donald Trump out when doing so. Joe Kent said, "After much reflection, I have decided to resign from my position as director of the National Counterterrorism Center, effective today. I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. It has been an honor serving under POTUS." Now, this is somebody who is honestly kind of a right-wing nut job. He's a huge pro-Trump guy. He has liked Trump for a while, and even he said, "Dude, this is too much for me." Trump then gets asked about him, and he says this.
Mr. President, your director of national counterterrorism, Joe Kent, he just resigned today. He said he can't support your conflict with Iran. What's your reaction to that, and did you...
Well, I read his statement. I always thought he was a nice guy, but I always thought he was weak on security, very weak on security. I didn't know him well, but I thought he seemed like a pretty nice guy. But when I read his statement, I realized that it's a good thing that he's out, because he said that Iran was not a threat. Iran was a threat. Every country realized what a threat Iran was.
Okay, there's two separate things happening here. There's two conversations. Iran is not an imminent threat to the United States, as this administration is claiming. They've claimed that Iran is an imminent threat, meaning they could shoot missiles over and hurt us. No intelligence of that whatsoever. What Trump is referring to is more of an ideological threat that the Iranian regime, which is bad and repressive of its citizens and has slaughtered tens of thousands and then cut off their internet so nobody could even leak it, then yes, you can say that that regime is a threat to the United States or to the institutions and pro-democracy institutions of the world. Or you could say that they are a threat to national security via the Strait of Hormuz. These are different conversations, and our president does not know how to speak about it.
The question is whether or not they wanted to do something about it. And many people, many of the greatest military scholars are saying for years that presidents should have taken out Iran because they wanted a nuclear weapon. They were, if we didn't do the attack, or if I'll go a step further, if I didn't terminate the Iran nuclear deal given to us, one of the worst deals ever made by Barack Hussein Obama. Remember when they sent Boeing 757s over there loaded with cash?
Okay, the Iran nuclear deal would have prevented them from enriching their uranium to a certain degree and getting nukes for over a decade. Donald Trump ripped it up and allowed them to continue their process, and look how it worked out. Joe Kent, in his letter, made some pretty startling revelations, let me tell you. He said, after much reflection, I've decided to resign from my position as the director of the National Counterterrorism Center. And then he continues to later on say, Israel pulled us into this war, essentially. And he says, early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiments to encourage a war with Iran. This echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States and that you should strike now. There was a clear path to swift victory. None of this was true, and Trump got tricked, according to Joe Kent. Trump is then asked if he's thinking about getting out of NATO, and he gives an awful response, saying that, you know, he wouldn't need Congress to do so.
Are you rethinking the United States' relationship with NATO possibly getting out?
I'm disappointed in NATO that we spend trillions of dollars on NATO. Think of it, trillions over the years, many trillions of dollars. It's one of the reasons we have deficits and we help other countries. And when they don't help us, I mean, it's certainly something that we should think about. I don't need Congress for that decision. As you probably know, I can make that decision myself.
Okay, that is absolutely sickening. We need NATO. The collective alliance of NATO is great. Trump then continues to melt down on Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, for putting the United Kingdom first.
You see that man right there? You know who that is?
Churchill.
Winston Churchill. The late, great Winston Churchill. And Barack Hussein Obama did not want his bust in this office. Did you know that? And Barack Hussein Obama sent that bust back to England. They didn't want it. And when I came in, I was asked if I wanted it.
Dude, this is a deranged, drunken rant. And you can even see Mihel Martin on the left just concerned. Wait a minute, I'm going to mute what Trump's yapping about. By the way, if Trump wants to learn from Winston Churchill, one of the key lessons you can learn from him is that you do not allow any sort of concessions to authoritarians. Winston Churchill wouldn't even so much as speak to Adolf Hitler during World War II. What Donald Trump does is he rolls out the red carpet for Vladimir Putin. So I'm going to pause this. I'm going to mute him for 1 second. Look at the body language on Mihel Martin. Oh my God, he looks like he wants to get out of there. He's like, somebody please help me get out of this nightmare. And what's Donald Trump doing? Ranting in a deranged manner? He's going to sound drunk when I unmute it.
Churchill, and you know, unfortunately, Keir is not Winston Churchill.
Keir Starmer is not Winston Churchill. Nice observation. Okay, to continue right here, Trump then continues to just attack Keir Starmer for over 2 minutes. I mean, the question he gets asked is, hey, do you want to speak directly to the people of the United Kingdom? Do you want to be a leader for a second and give a message to the people of the United Kingdom? He begins to attack.
Go ahead, please.
Keir Starmer isn't making...
She's a fantastic reporter, by the way. Go ahead.
The Prime Minister isn't making the case to the British public as to why he should be supporting you. Could you do that now and talk to the UK, to GB News viewers, about why it's in their interest that we help you?
Well, because we have a tremendous long-term relationship with the UK. I mean, people would say it's the best. I don't want to get into that, but we've had, who's the longest, the oldest, should be the best, always was the best until Keir came along, and now, and I like him. He's a nice man. He says everything beautiful. He's a very nice man with a beautiful family. Everything's perfect, but he doesn't produce. And I think it's very inexpensive. I just said, you don't have to send me aircraft carriers. Send me a couple of minesweepers. We don't need your aircraft carriers. But even the aircraft carriers, he would only send them after we essentially won. I mean, he's sending them when there are no planes left, when the missiles are down to 8%. They have like 8% of the missiles. The rest we...
Well, he's really making the case here by just going on petty, petulant attacks against Keir Starmer.
Demolish the missiles and the factories. Largely, the factories are going even as we speak. They just hit another factory. They may have a lot of, they have a lot of missile factories. They have a lot of drone factories, and so he's, you know, wants to send them when we don't need them, but would like to have minesweepers because just in case we don't know that there are any mines down because we wiped out, I think 24. They actually have. Think of this for a country.
Okay, so he did not make the argument whatsoever. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate these videos, drop a like, subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. I'll see you all in the next one. Peace out.